that ruined Durham. What a great time.
I'm curious about it, yeah.
The amount of ruin before it gets ruined, it's like 98%, and then we go there for an Airbnb, and they're just like, well, what? Fuck it. This is a shithole now. Pushed it over its limits, you know?
Yeah. I'm just imagining that. I'm imagining it like a... What? Huh?
Are we rolling?
Yeah, I just started rolling.
Oh. Welcome to Lose
Oh, Lose. Oh, great. Yeah, we got a show to do.
A weird way to get started?
No, not at all. I'm ready.
It's just great. This is great. We're just discussing how Durham's almost a shithole. We're getting there, but it's not there yet because it's still Moen's favorite place to live.
I love you, Durham.
Still Moen's
favorite Anyone place. From Durham, North Carolina.
Yeah, we've got... Imagine... Well, I don't even want to talk about Bacon anymore because I'm worried about Bacon's safety. Bacon, our number one fan with Loser Lee's Wrestling. By the way, this is Loser Lee's Wrestling with the Loser Lee's Wrestling crew. My name is Red Jefferson here with Moet Jaswal. Moet, how do you think Bacon's doing right now? We haven't heard from him.
Man, I think he's doing okay if you watch this week's Dynamite episode. Am I right? He's probably doing great right now.
What a great fucking segue. What a great job. Outstanding.
Learning it from JR.
Yeah, what a great show. We had such a great... I had a fun time. I had a real fun time watching this. And I'm still even getting some things crossed off. This was a great show. I thought there was a lot of fun things going on. It was Chris Jericho's 30-year celebration. The 30-year anniversary of him being in wrestling. Moet. Right off the top of your head, favorite Chris Jericho moment. You got anything in your brain?
His reveal. The first moment in WWE. The Y2J. Oh, you okay? You all right?
Yeah.
Were you also a fan of that or what? Okay. Yeah. What was yours? No, tell me literally right now. What was yours? Oh,
shit. I didn't even think about it. I asked you the question and I got nothing prepared. I guess my favorite thing would be... my favorite time of Jericho was in 2000. Honestly, when he was a babyface for that short period, even though he's a better heel and I think he's had better moments, his run in the summer of 2000 with Mick Foley's commissioner and then him versus Triple H, and then he won the title and they took it back. That's my version of Chris Jericho.
Your favorite.
That I'll never lose.
When he won the title, the night he won the title.
He won the night of the title and it was taken. Yeah, it was very upsetting. I was furious. This is before I realized that I don't think I was out of the realm of kayfabe. I thought he was actually dating Stephanie, even though he wasn't.
Oh.
And so I was in the mindset of just like, oh, he's using his fucking influence. Before he actually was. Before he actually was.
You were probably, probably like 10, 11 or something?
10.
10. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I loved his reveal. The Y2J countdown for weeks going on and on and on. And then finally seeing him. I remember thinking it was, I loved that. I loved his haircut. I loved his first interaction being with The Rock, of all people. I thought that was great. Yeah.
And I love the ponytail. I love the top knot.
Yeah.
Top knot ponytail. I think that's an underutilized heel tactic. I think only Jack Evans does that now.
To have
and
terrible
we're talking
hair?
To Jack Evans today. What?
To have terrible hair? That's an underhanded heel tactic?
That top knot.
Yeah, because it's terrible. It makes me want to punch him in the face.
It's terrible. Oh, my God. It makes me want to hit him.
Yeah.
It makes him hit him.
But that's great.
That's great. And while we still have Chris Jericho here on Loser Leaves Wrestling, he's a big fan of the show. He listens to us because we do have a Canadian listener. So I'm assuming it's him. On the podcast analytics, it says someone's from Canada.
There you go.
And so I'm going to assume it's him and not your area code that you have on your phone, Moet. is yours a Canadian phone number?
No. It's a Durham.
Oh, thank God. We have someone from Canada.
Yeah, and we got someone from Durham.
And we have someone from Durham. Excellent, excellent work. Well, we've got this was a lot of fun tonight. This is the woos and whats of AEW Dynamite. We just finished the show. We ignored the debates because the debates are second to this. There was a dog collar match, Moet. Dog collar match. Well, we started off the night, and let's go with woos. Oh, okay. The things that really... What did we have?
No. Let's move on. Let's go.
Woo the night, Moet.
Well, let's just keep the train rolling, man. I'm going to say the Jericho. Oh, this is my first woo of the night. Everything Jericho related. I'm just going to clump it all together because it was a lot of little things, so it'd feel weird to just point out one specific, moment. All the... messages welcoming him. Lots of great things there. My favorite was Tanahashi. I thought that was incredible that they got Tanahashi to say something because I thought the New Japan and AEW connection was like severed or something. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they mentioned him along with Lance Archer bringing up his fight with Moxley in a different promo. And showed footage. Yes, yeah. So ecstatic that this, it sounds like their relationship is working out. And maybe some, you know, some back and forth or something will happen. That's a small thing, but...
All the Jericho stuff.
Yeah, all the Jericho's. Appreciate
it. How do you feel about the match, though? I want to say, though, as well, I also have this as a woo. All the Jericho stuff as a woo. The interviews or the mentions, them cutting off Chavo Guerrero, which I thought was very funny. They showed, what's his name? The fat comedian?
Gabriel Iglesias.
Gabriel Iglesias. Yeah. And what's he has a nickname?
It's not Fuzzy. It's
Skippy.
Flubber?
Fluffy?
Fluffy, yes.
Fluffy, okay. Yeah. And he had Chavo Guerrero, and Gabriel Iglesias said everything he wanted. They showed Chavo, and he's just like, yeah, well, Chris Jericho's the... And they cut him off. They just got rid of him. He's like, we had enough. But everything about the night. But I want to say one thing I was questioned about. How did you feel about that match at the end?
The match at the end? You're talking about the main Luther event? Oh, yeah. Okay. The way you phrased it made me...
Because you said everything Chris Jericho.
Well, not that. That's my number one what of the night.
Okay. Oh, perfect. We'll get to that soon.
I don't count that as appreciation. I count that as self-inflicted pain. I don't know. Yeah.
But the thing I find very interesting is this is a slow Chris Jericho face turn. They're slowly making him a face. They're making the Inner Circle face. And with MJF, they're going to have this feud that's going to blossom into this weird little friendship where they're so similar that they appreciate each other, but they're so abrasively grinding every which way until they realize, oh, we're the same. And then they're sweet to each other. That's going to come to a head some point. How do you feel about that?
That's very interesting. I don't know if I see that because he was still a dick to MJF at the end. So, but I feel like this is like a one-off thing because it's like a legit 30 years. It's very exciting. Like, and he, you know, wrestling has kind of evolved where you can appreciate these people as performers now more than, characters, people that you're supposed to hate in real life. You know what I mean? Kayfabe's kind of a veil now. So, like, I just saw it as a night where we could all just, like, actually appreciate him for what he's done for the industry. But you're right. Maybe that is a turn because it was
a thing to do.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you're right because it was a very good like face sort of celebration for him. He only had like a few moments of showing his shitty personality as a character.
Now, the reason I say that, I guess it goes into the match, and why don't we'll talk about that later. Let's not haul on this too, but we both agree, Chris Jericho, great job tonight. You're the number one. Woo. Ooh,
yeah,
that's a weird boo. Like a train whistle.
Oh wait, sorry. We didn't get to talk about MJF. MJF and Jericho. That was crazy. There's just so much. I don't know. Maybe I should have broken it down to multiple. I don't know.
No. Because one thing is, everything Jericho touched tonight was great. Besides one thing, and we'll get to that big one thing, which is the tag match. But what's your next woo of the evening?
Fair. Brody Lee versus Cody Rhodes. Oh, but his last name isn't Rhodes yet. Brody Lee versus Cody. I thought that had a lot of things I loved in it. I like just at the top of the match, they made it feel like a really big deal. I love that they introduced the doctor involved, even though he didn't really
play
a part in it. But it just made it feel like, oh, this is a big deal that they're specifically pointing him out. Greg Valentine in the audience, I thought was fine, but just adding to the feel of it, you know, I didn't care if he was there or not, but it was just nice, you know, the big entrances and whatnot. Lots of blood. I liked John Silver getting beat up in a comical way. I thought it was funny. I don't think the intent was funny. Made me laugh though. Yeah, I don't know. Overall, and just a good match. It's a good violent pay-per-view quality match on TV.
You know, I think this is where we deviate, Moet, because that is my number one what of the night.
Wow.
Was the tag that was that match. And I appreciate what you're saying. What was your favorite part of the match? I won't shit on it yet.
Favorite part of the match? I mean, nothing stood out as far as like movesets or like moments, I suppose. It was just more of the feeling of just violence and just brutality throughout the whole thing. I guess as far as images, like the favorite moment is like probably the end where he gets, Brody Lee gets wrapped up with three chains three times over and it gets like choked sort of before dying, essentially. no, but then also, yeah, another thing, speaking of that, I loved how messy the match was. I thought it was just kind of great. They're just constantly tripping over the chain and kind of just fumbling around, and it just felt more intense to me. I don't know.
Some of the chain stuff was pretty cool. Like, my favorite chain thing was the very first time they used the chain effectively was when Cody went up to the top rope, and then he yanks it. And he flies back. Like, yeah. That was a really cool visual and really well done, because that's a lot of the things with the chain are hard to plan. They're so hard to plan and execute, especially if you want to do something elaborate. And they did a good job with that. They did a good job wrestling around that.
I also think it's so great because, to me, I think the dog collar match as an idea is, like, inherently stupid and silly. I just think it's such a silly pro wrestling thing to do of, like, dog collar match, the most violent match, the dog collar. It's just such a silly thing, you know? And so it just takes all these things about wrestling. Like, wrestling at its best needs to be melodramatic, like a soap opera. It needs to be, it doesn't need to be, but it helps that it's violent and physical, and it also has to be stupid and silly. It's got to mix all those three things together, just like this match did.
I have some things to say about it. I'm going to save it for those whats. But I will agree with the reasons that you agree with, and we agree in this. Following this one, Hobbs vs. Cage. Starting off the night, Will Hobbs versus Brian Cage in a hot opener with two hosses just slamming into each other a bunch, because Brian Cage is quick and Hobbs has such energy to him, such energy to everything he does. And the announcers kept talking about it. They kept talking about how, like, oh, like, he understands how it is to wrestle a longer match. You know, where he shows exhaustion, not just exhaustion, but, like, desperation. Like, when he knocked him down and he didn't get the pin, a lot of wrestlers will just kind of paint that off as just like, oh, drat. He really got upset at himself. And that was the little things that he did great. One thing that I did, I noticed that I would love to change. Cage, bless him, great big guy. I think he needs to sell less early on. In the beginnings of the match, like, it looked like Will Hobbs was more physically imposing. Mm-hmm. But that's not what they wanted to do. They wanted to make it look like they were tat for tat in the beginning, where there were just two big guys, and you'll see who overcomes. But in the beginning, you see Will Hobbs slowly, progressively getting more and more tired, more and more beaten up. Brian Cage, the first hit he got, he basically falls on his knees, which I don't think was the intent of making Will Hobbs look that strong, but maybe it was. Maybe it was. Maybe I'm overshooting it. I might be overshooting. But what did you think of the match, Mo?
I agree with you completely. I thought the first like overall sequence where they're, like you said, where they're going back and forth, I thought was really fun, and I was like so great into it. And I'm into it in general. But yeah, there was a moment where, like, when he gets knocked down, it is like kind of like surprising, because I thought,
aren't you the big name? Yeah, aren't you the big guy?
Exactly. He's the, you know, FTW champion. Like, and Will Hobbs is like the new guy. You know, like, I know. I think it should tip in his favor a little bit while also trying to lift Will Hobbs up, which I think was the point of the match. It should, yeah. So that was a little bizarre, but I just, you know, I kind of accepted it pretty quickly. It was just like, fine, whatever. And it
was this on one of your woos?
It actually was my next one, which was so fun. Ah! Yeah, right? Yeah.
What were your favorite parts of the match?
I like that the feeling, it felt like almost like a New Japan match, like a New Japan Haas match, where just two gigantic guys just beating the shit out of each other. It was fun. I thought, and then Taz's promo at the end, I don't know if we can count this as part of it.
Yeah, of course, we could count that as part of it.
Yeah, I like that he did a great job of putting Will Hobbs over as well.
Yeah.
Telling him how he did a great job, and then like trying to get him on the team, and then immediately like talking smack to him. I know you want to talk about Darby Allin. I know you love, yeah.
But that being said, Taz did a great job. And also, I love the Team Taz tactics. Because they're the only ones, because like Inner Circle, they're the Inner Circle. Like, you want to join them. And Jake Roberts has one client. And then Team Taz is very big on, like, he likes to recruit, but I like the aggressive recruiting, which I think is fun. But Darby Allin, like, running to the ring, there was zero threat. He was running in the ring, this small kid with a skateboard, and there's two, one giant man and one above average size man. they basically didn't beg off. They're just like, whatever, hit me with your skateboard. It was very, mean.
Yeah, Ricky, legit, just straight up goes like, nah, just shoos him away. Like, nah, it's fine. It's fine. I thought that was ridiculous. I don't know who to play. I don't know if that's even that big of a deal. I think just because we noticed it, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe
I think Ricky and Brian did the right thing, which is act naturally, which is you shouldn't be threatened by this little man running at you with a skateboard.
Yeah, fair. Yeah,
I think they did the right thing.
But it's good. I wonder where this is going next with that storyline. I find it interesting. But.
So, I'm very curious. I like the idea of Darby Allin and Will Hobbs teaming together for a little bit. I think that's a fun little, not necessarily a stable, but just people, because they're not in stables, they have to trust somebody, you know? Yeah, they have to trust somebody, and so they're just being like, well, what? I'll trust you right now, you know, with this thing with Moxley. I like that they're not affiliated, though.
I'm really curious to see where they take Will Hobbs next, because they clearly like him a lot. They're clearly pushing him.
Did you hear his story?
No, something about his brother, but I didn't really care.
Yeah. So basically they were training together where he was going to be a wrestler. There were brothers that were going to be a wrestler manager combo. His brother was going to be a manager and his brother was killed, in a shooting. And he was shot several times protecting Will.
No, that's a movie.
That's what they said on AEW. That's what, and then Taz, everyone was shook. Excalibur said it, and then everyone stopped talking. And then Taz is like, that's a really inspirational story. I can't say anything bad about that, but he's going to get an ass kick tonight. Everyone was shook. Everyone was shook by it.
That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. That's a superhero origin story. That should not happen in real life. That's awful.
But honestly, I'm even happier for him that he has this opportunity.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure. Yeah,
because of all that, you know, boy, does that guy need it? He deserves it. deserves it. That's a lot of work.
You can say that a lot for a lot of AEW wrestlers, which I actually like about it. Yeah, Eddie Kingston is another boy, he deserves it. My God, another year, man. I don't know where he'd be, but yeah,
that's very.
Uh oh.
What's your next woo?
My next woo. These next ones are
one?
No, I do. I have two more now. The next ones are the.
Oh, that's great.
They're all right, but the next one, I the Weenies promo, best friends. I don't know if that should even be on here, to be honest, but I put it on there because
you had fun with that.
It made me laugh. I don't know. I think. What was it right before the Weenies? Who was? Oh, Young Bucks. Young Bucks kick.
Yeah,
kick the cameraman. You know, we can complain about that in a few minutes. But
one of my wants
immediately after, I assume this was a production mistake because it's so jarring and bizarre. Because immediately after they get, oh, I'm sorry, let's you know, they just practically murder a cameraman, and then it cuts to FTR dressed as hot dogs, and I was like, I thought the Young Bucks did it, but I'm like, why would they possibly do that? And then best friends come out, and then they just call them a bunch of weenies like 8 times in a row, and then mention that they're fighting next week. This is something that I think I would hate if it was any other word than weenies, but since they used weenies, I love it. I think it's and they got the t-shirts
because they honestly do look like weenies. Like the description of a weenie is somewhat, it's very indescribable. Like, I understand a hot dog weenie. That, I'm not talking about that.
They
but
don't,
weenie
okay.
as a person. Oh. They look like weenies. Like, they don't look like hot dogs, but they look like weenies, especially Scott Dawson. Or, no, Dax Hardcastle. What is his name?
Dax Hardwick, yeah.
I don't think it's Hardwick. But either way, they look like weenies. Cash Wheeler is looking less like a weenie recently with the tattoo, but they used to look like real weenies. And I think that's a real fun descriptor for them. If you're going to make fun of them, if you're going to make fun of someone, make it accurate, and weenies is pretty accurate.
But do they look like weenies, like as in weenies? Do you think that's relatable?
I think that's a little bit of a stretch. Very few people actually look like hot dog weenies.
Jeff Bezos looks like a weenie?
He looks like a giant he looks like a pale hot dog. He looks like a skinny bratwurst.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. The type that you wouldn't want to eat. It's been out, like, it's been in the freezer for a little too long, yeah.
Dustin Rhodes looks like a weenie.
He looks like a charred weenie. He looks like a weenie that you forgot, that you, like, just left on the grill for, like, a couple minutes. Yeah, yeah.
A little too long, yeah. Yeah. Well, let's move on from weenies.
No, I want to keep talking. I think Marco Stunt is...
He's a little pig in a blanket.
Yeah, there you go. All right, that's it.
That was necessary. That was necessary. My next woo. Let's move on from that. Let's go right to it. The FTR versus the Hybrid 2 with Jack Evans and Angelico. I love the match. I felt it was a little weird in the beginning with Jack Evans. There's some weird spots in there that I think there was a little awkwardness, but I love them together as a tag team. And the Hybrid 2 has so much potential as a babyface tag team. I think the world of them, both of them, I think they're both so great, individually and together.
Did you see Jack Evans' tweet explaining why he wasn't getting pushed? This happened about a month ago, I want to say.
No, I did not. What is it about?
It was actually, really sincere and great. Someone was saying... someone asked, why aren't you on TV? I love you guys. And then he wrote this, really honest response that I'm paraphrasing now because it's been a while. But essentially, he was just like, I have shit mic skills. I don't know how to push myself. I don't know. One of the things about this job is you gotta push story ideas. I don't have that creativity. I don't have that brain. So, I've got nothing other than I'm athletic. So I need to work on that stuff, you know? And he was really honest, and it was... great. It's like, so, and that's why I'm on the sides, because you can't just have matches for a while. You got to be pitching story ideas to Tony Khan, and I don't have that, you know. Yeah. So to see them on TV again after
and have a real good match that really showed off their style that's different, so different. I love them on New Lucha Underground. Who are they? They were with Ivelisse, right?
Angelica. Yeah, and Son of Havoc, yeah, and Helico was with those with those two. Sorry.
Okay, gotcha.
And Jack Evans, I'm not sure what he was doing, but he was there too. Yeah,
I just love those two together. Jack Evans and Helico, hope them the best. I would love for them to get a babyface run. Yeah. Was this also one of your woos?
It wasn't, but I did like it a lot. I thought it was great. Basically I agree with everything you said. Yeah, and I'm really happy to see them because I like him as a mat or as a tech team. But it is true everything he said, which is they are missing a certain something to really propel them and give them a story, you know. I think they're just missing something. I don't know what that is, but I
like their name.
You do?
What is I don't it? Mind it.
I didn't really know what it meant.
I don't get what it means either. It just looks different, I guess. Yeah, so I'm fine with it.
What do you think of
abbreviation?
This is random.
Kills me.
Why?
What is random? What is random?
No. What do you like? Do you like their entrance? I find it so frustrating, but perfect for them, where he comes out just dancing, you know, and he does a little shoulder thing. I think it's really obnoxious.
It's very obnoxious. I like they're trying things. He reminds me of Brian Kendrick.
Yeah. Yeah, kind
of reminds me of Brian Kendrick in terms of the spanky kind of the Brian Kendrick, shoulder shirt draped off your shoulder, just very fun. One thing I hate though, the Hybrid 2, their abbreviation is THT, TH2. So the Hybrid 2. How many more abbreviations do we need? We talked about this before. TH2, AEW, FTR, FTW, MJF, Y2J. It's littered with three letters everywhere. And I'm sure I'm missing some. TNT. I just need them to not have so many similarities with some of their new brands coming out.
Definitely. Yeah.
But we talked about it a bunch. And maybe I'm overdoing it. Maybe I'm overthinking it. I might be. Am I overthinking this?
I think you're fine. No, you're. It's the proper amount of overthinking.
Right?
It's just
you're telling me. Though, right?
Yeah, no, I would tell you. Don't worry. I would totally tell you. I don't know. Yeah. Let's get through this.
Okay. Well, we're moving on. What's your last woo of the evening? What's your
last woo? Is the Jon Moxley promo? I guess it was fine.
Lord bless you. I agree.
Ooh. Okay.
Wildly.
Excellent.
Talk to me why you liked it. Jon Moxley had this promo talking about Lance Archer. What's the reasons you liked about it?
Well, he was sitting in a bar, and I miss sitting in bars. And he was drinking. And I remember when I used to sit alone in bars drinking, thinking about how everybody dies.
That's pretty this much is it. Gone.
That's what, mean, what did you like about it?
I like those same things.
That's
right.
That's
same things.
That's both genuine. That's why I like it. But yeah, I also.
It's very sweet. You're just like, I just miss being in a thing, drinking a thing. I liked it. I love the setting. I just love everything they're doing with Jon Moxley's promos. Each week, I like them. Like, and that's unusual for me to like a wrestler's promo over and over again because they're not the same. None of them are the same. None of them feel the same. They all feel like they're from a movie. They feel like the best produced UFC promo packages.
Yeah.
The best produced, where you see them walking through some setting they're in, and then you see them have a face-to-face. And, like, it's very well produced. And WWE doesn't do this. No. This is like a Jon Moxley exclusive type so far. I haven't seen any other people do it. I love it.
Yeah.
Love it to death.
It's sort of the same story of like, but I think that's okay. I think it's okay to have the same story if you're the world champ because you're already at the top of the mountain. And so his story is essentially, I'm going to beat this guy, but I don't know how many times I can keep beating people because it's going to get tougher and tougher. And I like it a lot. From the way he described it, it's like, yeah, I'm the best right now, but who knows how long that's going to be. It could be anybody that could beat me, just like how Cody lost, you know. He didn't say that in the promo, but it brought that up of like, he was the best in his division, and he just lost from just, you know, exhaustion, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because, like, I feel like whoever beats Jon Moxley, like, look at how well he built this title. I think he's done a great job with building his title and himself. I feel like his whole and imagine the promo package when they do decide whoever beats him, all the footage they have of him talking about the title, talking about himself, talking about his life, it's going to be beautiful. Going to be beautiful.
Oh, for sure.
There's no way they can mess that up.
This is kind of stupid. I feel kind of silly saying this because when he said everybody dies at the end, it's like, because, you know, I forgot. It's like, you know, you're right. You're right. Everybody dies. They leaves. Like, I actually thought that was like really poetic and surprising because I hadn't thought of everybody dies. I literally thought, he's right. Everybody does die. And I want your opinion on that because I've only...
And you're just looking at this COVID-19 poster. Like, oh, no. Man, he's got it. I love it. I thought this was his best one. This was his best one. Especially that line. Like, the everybody dies because Lance Archer uses that, like, anyone who die. But, like, I'm just like, you know, who cares what happens? I'm going to go through this cannonball with you. You know, everybody dies.
Okay.
Like, almost like a c'est la vie.
Thank God. Okay, good. Yeah, because I've always thought of it in perspective like Lance Archer thinking he's like meaning it as a monster villain of like everybody's going to die. But but the way Jon Moxley added this like, you know, emotional density to it of like, oh, maybe that's what Lance Archer's saying too. Maybe it is this like existential crisis for him too of like, who the fuck cares? I may as well just throw people into the ceiling and write terrible things across my slave lover's back. I'm making a weak reference to Jake the Snake and that thing that they dropped immediately. Thank God. But yeah.
When they on his body, when he ripped off his shirt and there was the pay on it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and then they just dropped it immediately.
It's been an elder abuse.
Like, because we'll never speak of this again. That was. It was so dumb.
I want to do a video. I'm going to. Would it be weird if we did a video if I just watched that and talked about that for like 2 minutes? Less than 2 minutes. Is that worth it?
I think we could do a video.
No one would watch.
No, we could do a video of all the things that AEW has done and dropped. I think could be good. Nightmare Collective, another thing I think they started and dropped because
that's
they know. Yeah.
That's a fun series.
Yeah.
Mowat.
There's two. Really fun. Oh, thank you. Yeah. I think it can be good. Yeah, there's several more. I know. Those are just the only two I can think of.
Those are Loser Leaves Wrestling Incorporated. Do not take those, Bacon. Or any of your Bacon affiliates. Because you don't talk to us anymore. Now I can't trust you.
I don't know how to contact him either.
I would love to reach out to Bacon. All right. Mowat, my last woo of the evening. And this is the women's match. Serena versus Swole.
Yeah.
Great match. Great match. It was cold as shit. They didn't give them anything going into it, and they built a great match from nothing. from absolutely nothing, and it's the best Swole match I've seen so far.
And the commentator commentary team did a great job too. I thought not to take, obviously it feels weird, but like, and all the men did a great job too in the
and
women's
all the men did a really good job framing it for these women.
That was ridiculous. No, I didn't
isolate back and spread it.
No, I only meant because they did a great job of like, because there's no storyline, because there's only one match, one women's match per show still. I think they did a really good job being like, well, if Serena Deeb wins, then like she could be in the like top five. So this is like a really big deal for ranking's sake. Like whoever wins this, it's going to propel them. And I thought that was really good. It added all these like extra stakes to it. Yeah, yeah. So
I don't know why we couldn't have a Britt Baker moment on the show. I would just love to see just another, like, Britt Baker should not be off these shows. If she could say something for even a second. You know, I'm for it. I think her character is probably the strongest. She's the strongest female character on the show by far in terms of character.
I mean, for sure. But I'm glad I didn't see her. As much as I like her, I like her too. But I think, I don't know. My main concern is that there's not enough women's segments that they just don't have a chance at creating a division unless they get a little bit more airtime to breathe, you know?
But with people like Serena Deeb on the roster, big, huge. Like, that's the type of athletes they need to be getting for that roster.
Yeah.
For that division.
There's I'm really excited about it. Yeah. I know that was a big, like, topic a couple months ago, but they've built it out, I think, since then.
Starting
quickly.
To.
Yeah. Super deep. Killian King is good. Hopefully Thunder Rosa gets to stay around. Diamante and all that. Yeah. So,
Ivelisse is getting more action.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect stuff. Well, let's move on because we're done with the good stuff. The good stuff's over. Now the things that really make us say what, Moet?
Okay.
What makes you say what? Holy shit, there's a bug and I'm going to cat. Okay, no. What makes you say what, Moet?
Focus. We're good. Let's talk about that match. Let's talk about that Luther match. Luther and Jericho and the other two.
So, the Inner Circle versus, what are they called? Chaos Project?
Chaos Project, yes.
Something like that.
No, it doesn't mean anything. I don't know what it means. Who cares?
And what's your problem with this match, Moet?
My whole problems are with Luther. I think it was an extraordinarily mediocre performance from him. And I don't know anything about his history. I just know people love him. I haven't seen any of his matches. I need to change that if I'm going to be talking about him. But all I see is what I see, you know.
We got to talk about this. We can't talk about his past.
Yeah.
It's what they give us.
It almost feels bad. It's sort of like making, you know, like criticizing like Matt Hardy's performances now. Like the guy just feels old.
I don't feel bad about that. Well, I don't feel bad at all.
His bad hip? Hardy's bad hip having trouble?
I'll talk about it. His pelvis is fused to his spine, the poor guy.
Yeah, his front flip was shades of Hardy. Like struggling to get up on top. It was very, very sad to watch. The whole thing, he was stumbling over himself. He kept doing the stupid thing with his tongue where he... And just like licking the air, it pissed me off. I don't know. I don't understand anything.
No, I get it. I'm 100% the same way. One of the thing is, it's a guy that had a gimmick that worked real well in the 90s, and he's not really into it anymore because it's been, you know, 30 years for him too. It's been 30 years for him too, and he's been doing the same thing, and it's that tongue wagging thing, and then he comes out. And he has a match where he's not used to having a 15-minute match. He's just not. You know, he's used to having a 5-minute match on Dark or something like that. He got winded. He got winded fast.
Did you see
that? And so he couldn't get it. Oh, I saw. He looked like he was gasping for air.
I'm always bad at noticing that stuff, except when it comes to Donald Trump. But I'm always bad at noticing when, like, people are, like, struggling to breathe and whatnot. Like,
Like he was struggling to... But because of a lack of oxygen, he couldn't lift up his leg when he was going to the turnbuckle. And because of lack of oxygen, he couldn't stabilize himself. And then when he kept getting up, he was just – you saw his head go back and like – like, bless the guy. He's, you know, probably 50 doing – like, obviously, he's still – what do you
got? Just like, he's probably old as fuck. He's probably
– he's as old as Jericho, probably.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Just the way you said it, I don't know why.
I'm using context clues.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know why I'm making fun of it. It just made me laugh.
No,
the
let's
way
make
you
fun
it.
Of him. Let's have a separate – like a hashtag fuck Luther. No, but that might come off weird. I don't think that's gonna be good. Let's not do that, Moet.
Nah, I like this, like the sentimental aspect of it. I like, you know, the fact that he did bring him in. That is probably the only connection that he has, like that goes that far back. you know, in wrestling.
It seemed like a favor to Luther.
And I like that. I think that's kind of sweet. Yeah, I like that too. But otherwise, everything about it was everything that he did. Like, it was a big moment for him in within AEW standards. And
huge.
Like, everybody, like, they pointed at him. Like, they put so much of a spotlight on him. And I don't know what he did. I don't know. He just, it flopped, you know?
Yeah, poor guy. Well, we bless you, Luther. We don't hate you. We just want you to be healthy. Mullet, what's your next the evening?
Oh, my next what of the evening is Kenny Omega's.
Don't make fun of my gastrointestinal tract. Right?
It sounded cool. It sounded pretty cool. It sounded like Steve Austin. Kenny Omega's promo, awful. I was trying to figure out, is he trying to be funny by mentioning Hangman Page so many times while putting over the tournament? He just kept, I'm okay if tag team wrestler Hangman Page is there, but if tag team wrestler Hangman Page is in the tournament, then I'm not afraid of tag team wrestler Hangman Page. And it's just like, I don't know what you're doing with this, you know? It just annoyed me. He probably should have wrote it out. He probably should have written the whole thing out and then memorized that instead of just being like, I got it. I'll bullet point Hangman Page. And I'll figure out the rest.
He's getting his groove back. It seemed like one of the things is the past few times I've seen him talk, especially in commentary, he sounds like he has no confidence like he used to have. I think he was dripping with confidence in NJPW.
Literally.
Dripping. Couldn't contain it. He'd walk to the ring just shaking with energy. And now he seems like a sad dog. But no, this promo, I think I saw peaks of it.
Can I ask a personal question?
What?
When was the last time you were dripping with confidence?
Oh, man. Not since I was in Austin.
No.
I was dripping at one point. I was soaked in confidence. Sure, I remember it. It's called mania. Actually, if you count mania, I'm dripping with confidence for like 2 weeks every 4 months.
I think so. That definitely counts for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, you see me when I'm just like, all right, let's go, and then
I'm dripping with confidence, and I'm all in it too. Yeah.
We're never dripping with confidence like for the same period of time. There's overlap.
Oh, yeah, but yeah.
Never at the same time.
But I think that's good. I think it's good. Because you bring me up, and then I'm just like...
And then I pull you down.
And then you pull me down into Whataburger, and then we...
Lord, oh, man, do I miss Whataburger. All right, Moet, next what of the evening. What do you got?
I put down the Young Bucks kicking a camera guy. It's not even worth mentioning, but it was one of the worst parts of the show. I think it was. It's just boring. Like, why show them watching the FTR match? Why show them doing anything on this episode? I expected them to have a promo, maybe. No, they just do the exact same thing where they kick and they're like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I don't care. I don't care. Just switch. Stop doing this gray area nonsense, AEW. Just have them switch. Be assholes for real. Stop pussyfooting around, all right? I don't know if that's a proper term to use. Okay.
No, but one of the thing is, it's we don't need to see you on TV every week if you don't have something. I don't want to see you on TV just to see you on TV. I know you exist. I know you're the owner. But, like, if you don't have anything to say, you just – and honestly, the super kick gimmick, pay the money thing – I'm still so upset about Tony Schiavone. I'm still so upset that he comes back this week. They barely care. He's not in a neck brace. Why isn't Tony Schiavone in a neck brace?
You're a Schiavone stan. You're a Schiavone stan. You're a Schiavone stan. You stan Schiavone. I love it.
Schiavone. I'm a Schiavone stan for sure. But like the thing is, what they could have done is had the Young Bucks off this episode entirely. Not match, but have Tony Schiavone in a neck brace. Mm-hmm. If you have Tony Schiavone in a neck brace, it reminds people what happened last week. It constantly, you know, he won't forget it. And he'll mention it on commentary that he's just like, I, the action's going back and forth, and I'm having trouble because of the kick from the Young Bucks last week. You know, there's so many ways to get this thing over without seeing them super. And the way they do, they're not good backstage performers. They're good in the ring. They're good in the ring performers, but backstage performers, they really suck. They really, really suck. And then they're like, oh, who's this guy? Did he sneak up on me? Did he sneak up? Want to do our favorite signature move? I want to do our favorite signature move. And they do it in this. It was just terrible. And they ruined the best friends coming out. The best friends coming out, like you said, because the thing is, they just had a match, and best friends are the next contenders.
Yeah.
Why are we taking away from them and their potential title win to basically say, oh, best friends, you're not winning the title. They're gonna lose. They're gonna have to fight FTR, the Young Bucks next. They just ruined it. They ruined it by doing that.
That's a great point. Yeah, because I don't like AEW is actually pretty good in general of making every match feel important, every championship match feel important. Like no matter who it is, the challenger has a chance. And this one, I don't feel they're gonna win at all. I want best friends to win because I like them as a team, but based off of the way they were presented, like, and the way the commentary was presenting it too, of like Shivani, I think, even says like everybody wants to. No, it was actually JR because he's terrible. JR was the one that said everybody wants to see Young Bucks versus FTR or something like that. So like nobody cares about that.
That was a real waste of a moment.
Nobody cares about TH2 versus FTR. Nobody's going to care about Best Friends versus FTR because we're just waiting for the Young Bucks now because of that moment. Yeah.
It took away all the anticipation because Best Friends are on a roll. And you could believe if they didn't have that moment with Young Bucks, didn't do that, you could have believed when them coming out, you're like, oh, they just won the parking lot brawl.
Yeah.
And they're going to face FTR. Nice. Like, there's a chance that they might be the new champions come their match. But now you know they're not.
Five-star match. They had a five-star match. Chucky T had a five-star match, finally. Throughout his whole career, he was close to retiring a couple years ago, and now he's got a five-star match. There was momentum behind him, and then nothing. No,
it's
nothing.
I had no idea about Chucky T's quest for a five-star. That's sweet. I didn't know.
Well, he's, he was almost retired because he, something happened with his WWE tryout where I think they either like just rejected him or he just didn't have it was very sad. And it was sad for somebody that had been a veteran of wrestling for like a decade or more to get rejected, you know? And then he had to come back and now he's in AEW and it was such a big, exciting moment that he didn't retire. Anyways, this isn't the point of this episode.
No, it's beautiful. Almost want Jack Evans to befriend Chuck Taylor and they have their sad stories just meld together and they become the best friends and friends.
Yeah. There's a great match at PWG, if you can find it. Chuck Taylor versus Zack Sabre Jr. for the championship. He wins.
Because I love Chuck Taylor. Chuck Taylor is such a good wrestler. I'm so wowed by him when he has his moments. Even though I'd love to see him have a singles match every now and then, he's really great. Yeah. We should check that out. For sure. We should do a watch along with that.
That would actually be really good. They totally capitalize on the feeling of that moment of him being like known as just like this workhorse sort of wrestler that like is very well respected by pretty much everyone that watches him or knows him, but just is not seen as championship caliber. Like nobody, he just isn't. He's not in WWE. He's not going to be ever seen in the major companies, and they capitalize on that moment. It's such a powerful thing. So, yeah,
that's beautiful. Yeah. Well done. Well done, Chuck. Mo, what's your next what of the evening? What do you got?
I think this is actually my last one. I didn't fill out five because I just didn't have anything I felt very passionate about. So
that's fair.
But this is my fourth one. Orange Cassidy deflating Cody's like fiery promo at the end. I think Cody did a great job doing a good babyface promo. He does a great job of just mixing a hint of reality with the kayfabe. He's been doing it a lot recently, and just how he like to the point where like it's so borderline obnoxious, but it's not to me. I don't know why. It's just borderline where he mentions like very like you know, smugly someone telling him like how he should become heel because he changed his hair color. You know, did you hear that? Did you catch that?
Yeah, I heard that. I was almost upset at it, but then I was just like, what? I do, like you said, like he dips in and out, but because of it, it adds this sense of topicalness, you know, like very current.
Yeah.
And so it makes it that much more interesting because he's hearing what we're saying. You know?
But it's all in his eyes. It's his eyes and his passion, which I assume comes from like the adrenaline of having just finished a match, that puts it over the edge. Where like it reminds me of his dad, of what his dad's style of promos, and I bet this is what he would have done if he were, you know, still doing promos today. That style of like mixing reality and fiction, I think, is what you have to do. But the point is not to say nice things right now, Red. The point is to say mean things. Fuck Orange
Boo,
Cassidy.
Orange Cassidy.
No, it wasn't,
Boo.
Wasn't that big of a deal. I don't know, but it's the last one on my list, and I have to say it. Yeah,
it just took away from it for you?
Yeah, because, well, it took me away from the promo because they built up this thing. Like, first of all, I'm shocked that Cody won. I don't know where I actually thought his story with that belt was done. And in fact, that should be a what right there. You know, maybe it is.
That's actually my next one.
Yeah,
is this exact thing.
Well, let's just talk about it now, because I may as well just say it's part of it. You know, like I think Brody Lee has way more potential with the belt. I'm surprised that they gave it away. I don't, and the fact also that Cody's saying that he's going to stay face is like weird to me. Like, I just don't see where the progress, the evolution's going to go with him. So. And that's why I don't like Orange Cassidy being there, because it feels very stagnant.
It took it away. Yeah. Because one of the things is, they just had a big blow-off match when they've had two matches. You know, like, I feel like this doesn't make sense. Everything feels rushed. The entire thing felt rushed. A dog collar match should be between two people that can't get close to each other. You know, like that one keeps running away, one won't wrestle the other, to kind of build that story of like, oh, I want you right next to me. That's why we're in a dog collar match, because you can't run anymore. And I would have loved for when Cody comes back, if not be out for several months, Cody be out for, but if he comes out 5 weeks, have him try to go after Brody Lee, but Brody Lee has Dark Order around him. He's just like, no, I have other things to do now. You're beyond me. And he just forgets about him. He destroyed his family and he moved on. And then they keep fighting. Maybe a couple months down the line, he's just like, well, what? You keep leaving me. I want a dog collar match. So you can't leave. You know, that type of thing. And then you have this big blow off match. What this did is essentially neutered the whole thing. It didn't give you any reason to understand why they wanted to be so close to each other. There's no reason for the blood. There's no reason for anything. Because I guess there were some beatdowns and such, and he was upset about his brother and Arne Anderson.
But he also,
even the thing in the match pissed me off. In fact,
he also said that his wife wants to bone him. He talked about how his wife is putting thirst traps out there specifically for Brody Lee. So that's kind of a low
there
blow.
There is a thing, but I just feel it felt rushed. I would love for this to have been blow off. And the finish that shocked me, because I didn't expect it. And also because it didn't make sense. Brody Lee just won the championship. I think that Cody chasing after it would have been better. It would have made more sense. Maybe for a little bit where he kept having to fight Dark Order people to get to him.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. That would have been a good storyline. It would have gotten a bunch of great matches from Dark Order, like from their underlings, so they can have these great matches with Cody, which is what he loves to do. He loves to have long matches with under people to show off their stuff. And then you would have gotten that blow-off match.
Oh, man.
But now I'm going to assume they're going to give the title to Orange Cassidy.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know. Yeah, because I just don't know what Cody's supposed to be doing now. They were building... Or at least I thought they were building him to be a heel. So it's just, it just doesn't make sense to me. I just don't know where they're going anymore. And it doesn't feel satisfying anymore as a fan to watch this.
I'm going to call it. I'm going to say Orange Cassidy's going to win next week because Brody Lee did something to Cody Rhodes. And it's going to lead this big Dark Order versus the Nightmare Family match.
Yeah, because it doesn't make sense why why Orange Cassidy would challenge for it, because he just challenged like the week before, I think, or 2 weeks ago or something against Brody Lee and lost.
Against Brody Lee.
So it's not, so he already challenged for that belt and lost. So it doesn't make sense why he's allowed immediately. He should, like, if you're,
why
if
do they have rankings?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why do they have rankings if they don't even have any credence to him? He lost. He lost his shot. He was at the top of the rankings. He lost his shot. God damn it, Orange Cassidy. We got us so angry at you. We were so pro-Cassidy.
Yeah.
We were pro-OC at the beginning of this podcast, but each and every damn week.
I agree. And then what you were saying also going back about the match not having enough of a build-up, I think that's also like an AEW thing that they seem to be doing. Where,
the hot shot.
Which, in general, I think is okay because they're trying to make every match feel like the most important thing ever. But they hotshot, like you said. They, like, even the Jericho match tonight with Luther was a hotshot. They established that match last week and then had a week to make it feel like the biggest match ever of 30 years in the making, yeah. This match. And so, like, it's too much. It's too much pressure for each match to fulfill the expectations that they're putting on it, which is ridiculous, you know? And, I guess I'm kind of torn because the dog collar match, you're right, shouldn't really be a TV match. It should be something they should have done, like, 8 weeks from now or something.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was really fun to watch. And that's why I liked it.
It was a fun match. It was a fun match. My only issue with the match itself is Arn Anderson's input. And it happened in the middle of the match. Why did it happen in the middle of the match? Because I felt like Arn Anderson getting involved is a big deal. It's a big deal to me. Like, when he comes in and he hits a spine buster, that's a pretty high, like, it felt like it was like, I don't know how long the match was, maybe 18 minutes. It felt like that happened at the 10-minute mark. Mm-hmm. And then they had like another 7-8 minutes left. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm exaggerating, but it took it completely off course for me. Moe, I'm so angry. I'm so angry. Why did I save this what for last? I should have started off with this what so that we could have had a fun time at the end, which is what I like to do. Moet, that's the end of our woos and whats. What takeaway do you have from tonight's AEW? Do you have anything to soften this?
I just said everything. All my takeaways, Fred. There's no more takeaways from me.
Can you give me a couple more takeaways? I need three more takeaways, Moet, to get the quota over so we can end this show. Go, shoot, three takeaways.
Oh, God, you got, Jericho is a little bit of the bubbly. Looks delicious. I want some.
One.
God, there's two more. Shivani seems like a nice guy. I wish I could have gone to Starbucks and had his drinks.
That's sweet. That's true.
Are we done?
One more.
That's not good. Okay.
Now I have to keep it, unfortunately.
John Silver was bleeding, and I felt bad for him. I'm sorry. That's it. That's all I can think of.
This is Loser Leaves Wrestling. We follow us on Instagram and on YouTube and on Twitter, Loser Leaves Pod on Twitter. And make sure to like and subscribe and review, please. And thank you so much. Moet, say goodbye. Bye-bye, Moet.
Okay, goodbye. Why did I do that?